Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our carol service this evening. You're very welcome. It's a celebration of the true meaning of Christmas, and you're very welcome to share with us this evening, and there are so many taking part. We're going to get started right away, but I want to, as part of our worship and celebration, I want you to turn around there and wish each other a very happy and blessed Christmas and a blessed New Year. All right, well, that's you truly wished a very blessed Christmas and New Year. Just to get a lot of the housework out of the way, right after this service, we're having some refreshments and tea and whatever else is provided by the catering team over in the hall immediately after the service. Everybody's very welcome. Do please make your way over there, and you can further enter into some conversation and encourage friends perhaps you haven't seen for some time. So do make your way over there, and we're thankful to the catering team for doing that for us. On Christmas morning at 10 o'clock here in the church. What did I say just now? All right, we'll do this in the chorus after two. One, two. At 10 o'clock Tuesday morning here for the Christmas morning service. And we're asking the boys and girls, and if you've got anything nice you want to show off, then please bring a little toy or a gift that someone has given you, and you'll be able to challenge whoever will be describing these toys to the congregation, which happens to be a source of great entertainment every Christmas morning at someone else's expense. So please remember that Christmas morning on Tuesday at 10 o'clock here for a Christmas morning service, which only lasts for about 45 minutes. It'll be a thrill to see you. And then there's no prayer meeting this week, but we will have our church service next week at 11:30 and 6:30. 6:30 is going to be in the form of a testimony time from people within the congregation. Maybe God has brought, there's some people who God has brought through difficult times, and they're going to tell how God brought them through. Maybe someone who's got saved this past year, they'll be telling a little story of how God saved them. And others whom God has blessed, or something they just want to tell or express of how God has met with them over this past year. Because our walk with God is not just intermittent. It's not just something that happened 40, 50, 60, or 5 years ago, whatever the case may be. But ours is a walk with God, and He walks with us through our circumstances. And so there will be different ones sharing and in testimony all the way through the service next evening at 6:30, and I'll be preaching at both of those services. That's all I'm going to say. We're going to have a special treat for you now. There's an organization that meets in the church called Connect. And I've asked them, because whenever I first went to Connect, I heard them singing this song. And I said, that would be tremendous if we could sing the song at the opening of our carol service. So I'm going to ask Stephen Bailey, who's leading it, and Andrew, and all the Connect individuals, if you'll come on ahead right away, and we're going to start the service of this song. Thank you so much. And I think they've asked me to help, although I may know it, I may not know it, but I'm going to try my best. If anybody's singing out of tune or out of place, it's me, all right?
You are holy,
you are holy,
you are mighty,
you are mighty,
you are worthy,
you are worthy,
worthy of praise,
worthy of praise.
Will that one person who was crying for more please leave the building? Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray as we commit our gathering to the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we are coming to the one who is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the great I Am. He's the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We bless you that we come to the one who's God's remedy and God's answer to the world's needs. We thank you that we come to the one who was the King and the Prince and the center of attention in heaven way back before ever time began. We rejoice, Lord, that we have this great privilege of lifting up his name, celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we would pray tonight, dear God, that you will come to our gathering and bless, Lord, each one that takes part, for those who share, those who read, and those who sing, and Lord, that as we listen and as we speak, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will have preeminence in our gathering. Help us tonight, Lord, we pray. We dedicate this hour to you. We commit ourselves. We surrender to you. And Lord, perhaps if we have never heard of you, we pray that we'll clearly and surely hear this evening. And grant, O God, that the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace will come and take residence in every heart. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. We're going to invite you to come and celebrate this King of Kings, this Prince of Peace. And by doing that, we're going to listen. We're going to be involved in this service. But we want to start by singing, Come and Join the Celebration. If you're still using the words, it's 138 in the words. But let's stand and sing together, please. And don't take any time to stand. Stand right away and let's get into it. Thanks so much. Amen. We're going to have several people taking part. Come on ahead, Stephen. We're going to have several people taking part. And the right at the beginning, we're going to read from Genesis and also Isaiah. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 to 15, and also Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2. These verses, amongst other things, promise us a Redeemer, a Savior. But it also spells out that we've ended up in a terrible predicament. You see, if you don't know the bad news, you can't know what the good news is. And we need to know what the bad news is for the good news to come forth. And so these verses tell us something of the bad news, but also they tell us about the promise of the one who would bring the good news. Thanks, Stephen.
Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me, She replied, "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." Amen.
And straight away we see that mankind, who was made for a relationship with God, were made to have an intimate, warm relationship, something that was meaningful, something that was relevant, something that was creative, something that was blessed. And instantly and right away at the first book, the book of the beginnings, the book of Genesis, tells us how this all fell apart through man's rebellion and disobedience. And the world was plunged into darkness, separation from God. And we've all inherited that separation. We've been plunged into darkness. We've been separated from God and left in such a moral and spiritual depravity, we have no hope whatsoever of ever achieving a connection or relationship with God again. But God, who's loving and kind, doesn't leave it like that. He promises a redeemer, a savior. There will be a challenge, a conflict between the woman and between the enemy. And that challenge and that enmity was sin and the savior. And right at the beginning, right just immediately after Adam and Eve sinned and plunged us into darkness, plunged the humanity into spiritual depravity, God was promising a redeemer. You see, man had lost out with God, and man was lost to God. But right at the start, God signaled the remedy for this disastrous situation. The promise of a savior, a redeemer, to reverse, to remedy, to redeem the situation. And as we've heard, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The bad news is you were born with sin. You were born in darkness. The bad news is that Adam handed over authorship and leadership of his life to the enemy. The good news is that God was going to remedy that. Tonight God can remedy it for you as we come to this particular service. We're going to stand and sing again another carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See You Lie." Let's all stand and sing right away as we go through the service. Thank you very much. whenever we read the story in Genesis, we read how Adam and Eve lost out with God, and we see them running, we see them hiding, we see them trying to avoid God. And we see mankind goes into a spiritual decline, a spiraling downwards, one direction downward, because we cannot function outside a relationship with God. Nor can we achieve or arrive at a relationship with God in our own strength. So God has a plan, and that plan is for it to lift us and to bring us back into a relationship with Himself through the Savior. Someone who's able to lift us, because you can't lift anyone higher than yourself. But God came. God was going to send a son. That son was going to be His son, but yet He's going to be able to identify with us. He was going to be born of human flesh, yet divine. To us, a paradox, an impossibility. And so the plan is set in motion. The special one, not Jose Mourinho. Man United are doing better without him than with him. No, this one was a special one. This one was the sacred one. Special in His life. Sacred in His birth. Supernatural in His power. And Gertie Moore is going to read to us from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14 to 16, and Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7, which speak about the person that He was, the King. Then she's going to read from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 4, the place of His birth foretold before ever it happened. She's going to read at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 12, because He's going to come through Abraham's line. He's going to be a Jew. And then Andrew is going to read from John's insight to this great man that was born, the Savior, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Thank you.
And I will bless the Lord. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government of his shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up upon until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnants of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord, in his God. And they shall abide, for now shall be great unto the ends of the earth.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was in the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man and cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believeth on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
And so we see the story beginning to unfold. Man fell into darkness, estranged from God. Man fell from that source of life and light and liberty. Man chose his own way and was a spiral direction downwards, further and further away from God. God doesn't stand by idly and watch man destroy himself. God gives a promise. Way back at the beginning, God gave that promise of a Redeemer. But it wasn't just any old ramshackle, any old half-baked plan. No, the plan was his very own Son. The Son of God. God the Son. And yet somebody who could identify with men, and so he became man, so that he might be able to taste death for every man. A plan was that he would live in this world, live above temptation, live above the lure of the enemy, live above all the things that you and I would easily give in to, and he lived that life perfectly. And John said, as Andy read there, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I know that oftentimes we think, well, that was the time whenever John, Peter, and James were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw him transformed before their eyes, and that's what they are referring to. We saw his glory. And you could easily say that, but there's also something further to be said about that, because John is speaking representative of all 12 disciples, and they weren't all up that mountain, and yet they all beheld his glory. They beheld his grace. They beheld his truth. They saw, they heard about his temptations, yet he never gave in. They saw how he interacted and how he met with and how he dealt with those who had fallen. The woman caught in adultery, the woman of Samaria. How he embraced the lepers. How the crowds, they sat at his feet and listened to his marvelous teaching, and how he dealt with those that were trying to trip him up. And I put it to you that every one of those events was where Jesus' glory shone. He didn't give in to the temptations. He didn't fall for the lure of the enemy. In fact, his glory shone in his ability to overcome the enemy so that he could be a perfect sacrifice. Men and women, if there was never going to be an Easter, there would never have been a Christmas. Christ came to identify with you and I, to sympathize with you and I, to be able to live this life above the world and to be that perfect sacrifice whenever it was required. That was the plan. The plan. And so, God's plan continued. And we're going to sing our next carol, but first of all we're going to pray, because we're going to have an offering, and the carol will be Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we'll hear that in a few moments. But let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the unfurling of this plan. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you don't stand idly by and watch us destroy our lives. We thank you that you have a plan in place. That plan is your Son, the Lord Jesus. And the world saw that he was spotless and he was impeccable and he was glorious. They saw his grace. They saw his power. They heard the simplicity and yet the profundity of his teaching. They witnessed the wisdom of his guidance. He was tempted, tested, and tragically treated. And yet he was the Son of God without sin. And all they could say about him was, I find no fault in this man. As we lift our offering, Lord, we pray that you'll enable us to remember that great offering of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who sacrificed his life for our death. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 142 remaining seated, we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we have our offering at this time. And right after we have our offering, we're going to ask the youth fellowship as they'll come, and they're going to sing to us at this time. Thanks so much. Youth fellowship to come along and minister to us in song, and they'll have their own way of doing it, and I trust that you enter into it with them as they bring the message of Christmas to our hearts. Thanks.
And this song is called Who Would Have Dreamed. Maybe if it could be up on the words here, see if you know this and want to sing along, that'd be great. We're going to worship the Lord up here. There's not a whole lot of us, but we hope you enjoy the truth of what we're singing anyway. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes, God's glorious plan. We've been talking about the predicament that we got ourselves into. We rebelled. And you saw it, you saying, well, if I'd have been in that garden, I wouldn't have fallen. Oh, yes, you would. Oh, yes, you would. Adam had the perfect environment. He wasn't born with a sin nature. He allowed himself to be deceived and plunged mankind, plunged humanity, plunged this world into darkness and despair. So if you want to know why your life is miserable, why you experience pain and sadness and depression and distress, well, you don't need to look too far. Look at the fall of mankind. Because the moment that Adam and Eve fell, we see them hiding and running from God. Man was in an awful predicament. God, out of love, God, out of great grace, pursued Adam and Eve. Can I say to you, God is pursuing you in this meeting. Because he sees your predicament and he has a plan. And that plan for your life is not only that you be saved, that plan for you is that you might walk with him in this world and be an influence in this dark world for the glory of God. That's his plan. Someone who not, it comes down to where we are and he lifts us. Lifts us. And I know this, that the world, our society is broken. It's broken. It's broken because they have not got God. It's not that God's not there. It's just that they are rebelling against him. Oh, I want to tell you, God has a plan. He lifts you out of the doldrums of sin and out of darkness and despair and misery and shame. And all that has gripped your heart because of the fall of man. And he lifts you. And here's what Paul says in Ephesians. He lifts us up to the dizzy heights of all the riches of glory by Christ Jesus. Moses, David, Daniel, Jeremiah, Paul. They all start to describe. If I can have my next two readers up, Jonathan Holmes and Rachel Layton, please, if you can make your way here to the... You're looking far too comfortable down there. Had you forgotten that you're reading? Where's Jonathan? Is he gone? Oh, good man, John. Thank you. These, amongst other writers, begin to describe how he's going to do that. How he's going to do that. And so Jonathan is going to read... from Genesis 49 and verse 10, Psalm 45 verse 6 and 7, and Daniel chapter 2 verse 44. Rachel is going to read to us from Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 to 21 and Galatians chapter 4 verse 4. Thank you, Jonathan.
The scepter shall not depart from Judea, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness, hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And in the days of the kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall be forever. Amen.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law.
Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Jonathan. We begin to see the story unfolding, how God's going to do it. We see that he's going to build a new kingdom. He's going to start a new work. Whenever mankind fell that day, the devil began to build a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of shame, a kingdom of pain, a kingdom in which you find yourself under condemnation, where you find yourself in absolute darkness and pain and misery, where you can't help yourself doing the things that you do because he's dominating and domineering your life. And so the devil began to build a kingdom that day whenever the Adam and Eve fell. But I love the promise that Jesus gave. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God wants to bring you out of that darkness. God wants to bring you out of that misery, out of that shame, out of that pain. God wants you to look over your life with joy, a life that was walked in the light of the love and the grace of God. And so, to do that, he must first dismantle the kingdom of darkness in the world, but more importantly, in your life. And Paul talked about in Galatians 4 how men were under the condemnation of the law. Because there's a lot of people and they're trying to live a good life, trying to appeal to the law, the Ten Commandments, and say, well, I go to church and I say my prayers and I don't curse and I don't swear and I've never taken God's name in vain and I've never killed anybody, I've never committed adultery. And they try to measure their lives, but listen, against the Ten Commandments. But you can't do that because the first time you lose your temper, you've broken all the Ten Commandments and there's no fixing them again. And so, he comes with grace. He comes with light. And he comes with love. And he shines the light on your heart. And he begins to set a standard of grace. Someone who'll forgive. Someone who'll follow his light. Show you where you're wrong. Show you what you need. The Word of God says the people that sit in darkness. Well, if you're sitting in darkness, you don't know where you stand with God. But when he shines his light, that light begins to attract us to Christ. We begin to see the ugliness of our sins. We begin to see the need of a Redeemer. And we respond to him. And that's what Jesus, that's what Joseph was hearing that day when he heard how that you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sin, their sins. Light shows the problem. Love shows the answer. We're going to stand and sing our next carol, which is 153. And at sea amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below, see the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. And we'll stand and sing together this great carol.
Thank you.
If we can have our next three readers up, that'll be Lauren Gilmer, Christopher Luke and Katie Walker. If you make your way to the pulpit now, just as we bring the final segment, we've gone through the predicament that mankind found themselves in, the fall of man. We saw that God put his plan together. Can I say to you that the plan was in place even before man fell? The plan was in place. God had a plan because he was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So God had a plan in place. God knew that man would fall. So there was the predicament and there was the plan. The priority is not to give you a religion and give you kind of a form of living alongside whatever way you're living, but it was to dismantle that darkness that's in your life so that the light of life could begin to live within you and inspire you to live for him. That's God's plan. Identified as God's children. Now we have the praise. Well, we started on a pretty glum note, didn't we? We started at a place where we're down in darkness and misery and despair. The wonderful thing is God's plan of redemption finishes with song, finishes with joy. I love these next three readings because they bring us to that event when the baby was born and the announcement, the fanfare and the response that's made from the people, ordinary people like the shepherds who were up in the mountains. They were known as second, third, or fourth-rate citizens. Ordinary people like you and I. And yet it was to ordinary people this gospel came. It's to you and me. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Dear soul, tonight, the gospel of Jesus Christ sounded forth can bring you from the darkness and the bondage and slavery of the sin that has caught you. And you can be lifted to the heights where joy, full of glory, fills your soul. Lauren Gilmer is going to read from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Christopher Luke is going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 7 to 14. And Katie Walker, Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. And all of them in those readings are including individuals and their response to the great glorious message that the Messiah came. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and though Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the prince of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they saw, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Thank you so much. I think you should give everybody a wee round of applause for reading so well. We're almost at an end of our carol service. We've sought to narrate, explain, expound the Christmas story and what it is that we're celebrating this Christmas. It's not just some mythical, mystical story that happened 2,000 years ago that's irrelevant to humankind, but it's actually the most important message you'll ever hear. And I'll tell you what signals this importance: the fact that God sent a myriad of angels to declare it, to announce the coming of the birth of the Son of God. And it didn't go to Herod's palace. It came to ordinary people sitting on a mountain in the depths and in the difficulties of ordinary life. God sent a fanfare. That's how heaven felt about the great news. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all towards men. And one of the things that we notice from the shepherds, not only did they hear, but they actually heeded what they heard, and they went and they found him. You have heard the message. Christ was born for your sin. Will you seek him? Will you go search for him? Because he's come searching for you. If you'd been the only person ever born, he still would have died on Calvary for you. Bethlehem still would have happened. Calvary would still have happened. And the angels would still have announced the coming of the Savior for one person, for you. I think that's marvelous. And it's interesting that the Bible says that when someone repents from their sin, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. You can go to a big party and you can have thousands of people at it, but you not have that kind of party that's held in heaven, because one soul acknowledges the value and the worth of Christ. A fanfare. They went and they sought him. You should seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. And they rejoiced. I've never met anyone who's ever met Jesus and left downhearted or stony-faced. He brings joy. I know by the look of some of your faces, you're the epitome of misery. If your face is telling a story, but behind oftentimes smiling faces, there can be broken hearts. Now, whenever you seek after God and you accept this Savior we've explained to you, who lift you out of the doldrums of your sin, who will dispel the darkness of your life and break the chains that hold you, one of the things you'll want to do is rejoice. Here's what the psalmist said. He lifted me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock, and he established my going. Many shall see and fear and shall put their trust in the Lord. He puts a song where there was sourness. He brings a spring to your step where there was bondage. And that's worth rejoicing. Can I encourage you? And we have our next wee item, and it's a wee special treat for you. Daphne and Brian and Evelyn are going to sing this very special song. Thank you very much. Remember to listen and see how you'll respond on this great night.
The Lord, then I.
One of the things that God wants you to do is to fall on your knees. It's not to buy each other gifts. That's not the first priority of Christmas. It's not to decorate the house or the tree. That's not the first priority of Christmas. If you truly appreciate what the Lord has done, fall on your knees and give Him your heart. You could do that now. Just where you are. Lord, here I am. I have nothing to give, but I give myself. And that would be the best gift you could give this Christmas. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, as we've heard the story, we've heard the reason, the purpose, the great plan of redemption, as we've listened to the singing, we've entered into the true meaning, the message of Christmas this year. Lord, we pray that it won't fall on deaf ears, but every heart will rejoice for what the Lord has done in Christmas 2018. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to stand and sing our final carol, which is 149, O Come, All Ye Faithful. This is not the end of our services. Remember, Christmas morning at 10 o'clock, come and rejoice with us again as we particularly mark that particular morning. You are indeed invited. Please go across the hall, the car park to the hall, where there'll be refreshments provided for you. And of course, we are available if you want to talk to us, if you have a specific and a spiritual need. Let's all stand and sing. Thank you. together in prayer. I trust that that has been a blessing to your heart as you've heard the message of Christmas explained to you from right through from Genesis right into the New Testament. But it'd be pointless if it hasn't touched your heart. Let it touch your heart. And let him have and be the light of your life. Now, Father, accept of our thanks for your love and your blessing. Accept of our thanks for the good things that's provided for us over in the hallway. Accept of our thanks for the Savior of the world. And we pray, dear God, in our conversation and our meditation over in the hall, we pray that it will be of the Savior of the world. And not only will he be the Savior of the world, but he'll become my Savior tonight. Part us in your fear and with your blessing. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted,
hallelujah.
And those rejoicing,
bless
you. Amen. Thank you so much.